Yes. Welcome to the Recovery Radio on Enlightened Radio at www.enlightenedradio.org. And the player is always alive and working at player.enlightenedradio.org. Let me make sure I just didn't tell a lie. No, it's working good. Okay, there you go. And I have started recording. And again, let me introduce, this time recording, my good friend and associate here, co-host, host actually, in this case, James Boyd. Hi, James.
Hey, hello.
There you go.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah, welcome to Recovery Radio. This session, it's been a while, John. So first of all, hello to you.
You've been working this terrible
shift. Yeah,
And you're, you know, not as young as you used to be working, you know, full-time shifts and everything like that.
I know. But I'm hanging in there, though.
Yeah. You know,
I'm hanging in there. I'm doing good for a senior citizen, right?
I heard that, pal. You're still working your ass off. It's just, anyway. Mm-hmm.
Rodney's trying to get on. Somebody trying to get on?
There he is. Okay.
Yep.
I just added him in. Let me, I'm going to do another thing here while I'm at it. I'm going to, make you co-host. That way, if you want to, record yourself, you can do it yourself if you turn on your own recorder. It's on the menu there someplace, but I'm saving it, so.
Okay.
I've been trying to get better about my timing on the podcast. I mean, sometimes if I work at it, I can get them all up the next day. But
Hey, Rodney.
I can hear you. Rodney, I can hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
You are there.
Check 1, 2, Mr. Rodney.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for no form of fashion tonight, Sean, I'm trying to put together a kind of a training podcast. For the job, but we're gonna chop this hour up, man. Because what we were talking about earlier, Rodney, before you came on, is the next year that's coming up, and John and I, we always talk a little politics on Recovery Radio. We have to, because we have to stay abreast of what's going on around us, man. John, I was reading an article, and it was talking about how Donald Trump is out in front, and you know, in a lot of areas, man, he's slated to come up as the winner. Yeah.
Well, he's going to get the Republican nomination. I think that's.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wins the primary when is New Hampshire on Tuesday? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins that one too, ain't no way in hell that Supreme Court is going to touch him.
Tuesday.
You know, all these 91 indictments.
Yeah, they.
You know.
Yeah, what's your take on that, Rodney?
You know, who else had 91 indictments would be walking out free?
Is there was,
I digress. Go ahead, John. Go ahead, Rodney. Thank you for breaking up.
If anybody else gets in trouble, I would say, I'm sorry. I said that if anybody else was to get in trouble with the law, they wouldn't be nowhere near that stage of even running at a caucus or anything. And he just dominated Iowa. Like, he blew everybody up. They are not there. He's literally going to win. He's going to win. Sorry.
Well, I hope not.
Sorry, but, going to win.
Although I can't, you know, now that Biden's going to war everywhere around the world, I don't know. I don't know whether he's going to make it to November. I mean, he's got himself in a jam. Now he's going to get tagged with a mass murderer charge because of what Netanyahu, the guy in Israel, is doing with all the guns we gave him. And you know, and all the young people who are out there, they don't like it, right? I mean, you tag somebody with a mass murderer or aiding and abetting a mass murder, I don't see how they get out of that much. I mean, that's got to do a lot of damage. And that's coming from inside his own party.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus, man. And he's the only guy standing between us and some Trump kleptocracy. You know, I'm president, and my main job is to steal your money and park it somewhere in the Caribbean.
Hey, so John, let me introduce you to my good friend Rodney.
Okay,
Rodney, meet John Case.
How you doing, John Case?
I'm doing good.
You hear me talk a lot about John, right?
Every day's gravy. Yeah, okay. Every day.
Talking about John. Yeah. Mr. James, Mr. James helped me out a lot in my recovery when I first went to this program called Elevate. Almost 6 months ago now. So yeah. I'm going on. I have 6 months clean next month.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so that's congratulations, man. That's great.
That ain't hard. That's not easy.
Wonderful news, considering all the barriers.
I'm already working with kids with autism.
Wow.
On the spectrum, yeah. So I got a job where I'm going out, being as a teacher. I'm an ISS case manager where I go out and I teach the kids how to learn the basics of being independent, learning how to, like, from the simplest things, even brushing the teeth, you know, just getting in the rhythm of doing
right.
It because they, you know, they think different. So some stuff is just a little harder to get them to do. So that's what I'm tasked with doing right now. So I'm kind of glad to be back in the field of helping in any, you know, any amount of capacity or whatever level, and no matter the circumstance, I'm still happy to be on.
Are you finding that these are kids? Are they responsive? Are they responding to you?
Yeah, that's the thing. So I got a lot of feedback as of lately from the case manager, the head case manager, saying, hey, we can't believe that these kids are responding to you like this. I mean, we're very excited. You know, we're going to drop some of the mentors and just let them work with you more. They've even taken some people out of the equation. And I'm kind of working all the areas, but they're definitely responding. One of them is a six-year-old, and one of them's 19. And he's an adopted youth from overseas, from China. So he's kind of out of the social norm a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we're getting it to where he's going to be, he's trying to be socially accepted amongst the community. And, I mean, what better person to do it?
There you go, man. Absolutely.
Let me chime in a minute so we can get some structure going here. Hey, Rodney, I'm so proud of you, first of all. And it's so good to see you. I really appreciate you pivoting like this on such short notice, but we have to get it done one way or the other. You and I, we talked a great deal when you were out at Elevate. So tell the I'm hoping that to be able to put this on the screen over at the unit over there where we work. And so what would you say to the guys? First of all, tell us how you got to Elevate.
I went through the process. Actually, I seen the sign on the street pole as I was walking, you know, in the stage of in my life at that time where I was, you know, down and out. You know, I was looking for help. I needed help. I was in a bind, and I knew the best place to go at the time would be treatment. So I seen the sign on the pole. I feel like it was a sign from my higher power. I called in there and got in touch with Mr. Paul. Paul set it up. The guys at Elevate, they all got together. You know, they made sure I got there. Got my ride set up, picked me up right where I was at in the neighborhood. Brought me in, you know, treated me with kindness, you know, gave me a meal, helped me get some clothes together and stuff like that. And once I got there, I wanted to leave. I was annoyed. Mr. James remembered walking me down the hallway. I was like yelling for food, and I was like, man, I want some food. I'm not sleeping in this room right here. Put me somewhere else. You know, everything's a, the, you know, the backlash from the addiction. You're trying to find a way out because now you know you're there to get the help, but now you really don't want the help. So I was trying to get up out of there. I was trying to cause a scene. And but I ended up staying. I ended up doing the short-term program there, graduating from the program. Went from there to another program for long-term. I was going to do something else. I went into another long-term. And that's when I lost contact with Ms. Jane because I was doing I went and did another long-term program where I couldn't use no my phone. Mm-hmm. Again, and I love the phone. You know, I love the phone. And I was always caught on the phone at Elevate.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I went there. I can get the phone, so it's a separation. But it gave me a bigger bonding experience with my family. We got together, started doing our meet and greets more. We came together more during that time. Actually, when I came to Elevate, the mother of my child, who I'm now with, we were not together at the time. We weren't together. We got back together through me joining the program up Elevate. I got back with her, started writing me letters there, seeing my progress and growth while working with my counselor, Ms. Hargrove, and you know, we were able to set it up for the meeting times, and you know, it worked out. Got out, and now I see my baby all the time. We hadn't seen my baby at that point when I was there for the time when I came. I think I hadn't seen her in 2 months, almost 3 months. Now I see her almost every day. I'm in touch with him every day. We hang out, you know, spending time. We took Christmas pictures together, spent Christmas together. I was able to do that clean, sober. So, you know, it's been going. Elevate really did work. It was a great program. It definitely was a great program.
And one of the things that we always talked about, Rodney, was after rehab, then what?
Damn.
That's had it's always been a question, right? That you have to answer that question every day. So what would you say to the guys back at Elevate about the nicotine dilemmas? What would you say to the guys? Tell them something good, Rodney.
Oh man, the nicotine dilemma. I think the best thing to do about the I think the best thing to do, you was eating Ms. James?
I don't think I know Ms. James. I've met him all over.
Somebody was asking about what did they know you from Elevate. One of the guys. But I think the nicotine dilemma, to solve it in the
First of all, let's explain to everybody that's listening who may not know what we're talking about, the nicotine dilemma. So you guys, after you eat breakfast, well, after you wake up early in the morning, you know about that one. First thing you want to do is smoke.
Yeah.
Right? And the way Elevate is set up in most places like that, you have to have someone with you for some reason or other when you move around and you go outside to smoke cigarettes. Anyway, so what would you say to the guys? Help me solve this problem, Rodney, because you're an alumni now.
I'm going to tell you the best way to solve that problem. It's when you get up in the morning on time, take your medication. Get your roommate up on time to take his medication. If everybody takes their medication, you can't blame PC or admin that's on duty for you not smoking. Because it's really not their fault. Because if everybody gets up, wake everybody up, just getting knocked out the way, guess what? The quicker it gets done, the quicker you're outside. The more people linger behind, I mean, the more tardy you're going to be because if the big boss man walks in and see that everybody's outside and meds ain't done, then the PC gets in trouble. Best thing to do is get your roommate up on time, get it. Right after breakfast, instead of going and laying down, go straight to the med line. So when you walk in through the door, when you come from the cafeteria, walk straight to the med line. Get your meds, then you can lay down and you ain't got to worry about getting back up. But at least your meds is done and nobody's coming looking for you and everybody can get outside and smoke and enjoy the nicotine rig time.
Yeah. So what was your experience like, Rodney, for the most part, with the programming, like the clinical part of it? What was your experience like?
I believe... the clinical part of it was pretty good. The program was good, pretty good. The rules were what the rules were. I think it worked. The detox worked pretty good. I didn't have to do detox when I got there, but still they did. On times I got sick, wasn't feeling too well, they would give you, you know, certain medications to make you feel comfortable and not be wary or want to leave. They're pretty good with that, you know what I mean? They are overwhelmed with a lot of people there, so we need to understand at the same time to be patient, you know. But besides that, I feel like, you know, the counselors and everybody do work, and they come real with it, you know what I mean? The stuff they said, I mean, I still can hear Malik in my head, you know. I still can hear his voice, like when I'm like thinking about certain stuff. So, I mean, I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to go back in there for one and hear nobody, especially Javier. Are you back? Man, this is a lot of stuff that keeps me going. You included me going there and having to, you know, face it because I didn't follow what the plan of what I was going to do after rehab. I didn't stick to what we're supposed to do. It's the best thing so you don't end up is listen to the staff, take their advice. And the clinical portion all works out, you know what I mean? But the program overall is pretty good. With the other ones, nobody feeds you like that. Nobody gets you big like that over there. Elevate feeds you good. You know, they get you in there. And they're straight to the point with the message they're sending. Straight to the point. And it's real.
Yeah, the best show in town, I believe, for Essex County.
Best show in town.
Yeah.
Definitely best show in town.
So how are the people, places, and things working out for you, Rodney? After rehab, then what? Yeah.
With the people, places, and things working out pretty good. Like I said, I'm talking to positive people. Right now, I'm currently in the sober living, so I've been keeping myself grounded by staying in the sober living around people who are sober. They are focused and trying to do what they got to do to be successful, and of course, that rubs off on you. So. That's a good place to be, I feel, for right now, early on in my sobriety, to be in a sober setting. I don't walk nowhere, for one, around neighborhoods. I just prevent myself from doing that. I get to work from home, so majority, 80% of the time. So I'm mostly grounded in the house, just with the other guys and hanging out and chilling and just doing meetings and stuff like that. Just keeping a positive network all the way around.
Go ahead, John.
Is the job that you have permanent or temporary?
It's permanent. I actually moved on to being a residential supervisor soon, within like 2 weeks. But what I'm doing, I also keep the two clients working with them personally on the side. But it is a permanent job I got hired on. It's a job through the somewhere with the state, contracted through the state.
Like things like certifications for various skills and things like that, so you can get,
to do more. Exactly.
Yeah,
They offer a certification and educational CU credit, continuing education credits, and certifications like with neglect, abuse, and other areas. So if you want to move forward, you can move forward in the job.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Does it pay enough to live? I was a union organizer for 20 years, and so I'm talking to some employer, I would say, so what is the pay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's a big part of it. We gotta survive. Yeah.
Right.
We gotta survive.
Good job, man. Good job. So talk to him over there, Rodney, because I'm gonna take this. Once John edited everything and make it pop, I'm a let Leon go through it.
Yeah.
So tell us something good, man. You know the place better than anybody. And I noticed how you excelled while you were there, and you got a lot of people to listen to you. And so that's good. That's a good skill set, man. And it'll take you a long way. So talk to Leon for a minute. What would you say to Mr. Leon today? You got to thank him, first of all. He looked out for you, right?
Yeah, he would let me get these shoes, though. But, I'd like to say, I'd like to personally thank Mr. Leon, man. He stayed on me, too. I was still trying to cut some corners, and he was calling me on it, you know, he called me on it a couple times about, like, you know, I was trying to get these pair of shoes, and I had like 8 pair of shoes, and he's like, what you trying to get the shoes for? Somebody else needs support. You know, stuff like that was keeping me grounded and letting me know that my behavior still was, you know, needed to be tuned up. So I personally respect the program. I thank the program for what they did. The growth that I gave and the type of people that are part of the staff, the clinical and the counseling team, and I mean the therapeutic community there, it's pretty good. You know, I used to talk junk at first, but everybody that knows what they're talking about, they you know, I'm not just saying that because I graduated. They actually give good insight, and I've taken it. And I've noticed that a lot of the programs they offer after Elevate or actually good program. I've seen a lot of people from Elevate out at meetings that are still sober. More than 5. And that's a lot. I've seen over 5 different people from Elevate at meetings. And then when I went to Elevate, it was always. And I was going to meetings still around here, and I've seen more than 5 people still going to meetings from Elevate. Because I'm not gonna name them because you know hip hop, but I know it's 5. Yeah,
a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and this guy, he's been at Elevate a year and a half ago. He's still sober. He's so you got people that are still going, and like so that's 6 people I know that's from the program that are still making it from Elevate. Since you've been there, Mr. James, these guys are still making it.
Right. Okay.
I ran a guy on the bus. He's still going. Job link. We're on the bus together. And he's still in a program, an extended program, but he still came from Elevate. He's still going. It's one of the people that you probably would have never thought would have made it. Like always, it's crazy the ones that make it, but these people are still making it. And that's a lot of people to say they're still making it. Sure is. 6 people, I believe. That's a lot, you know, considering the circumstances. And,
If an entity or a business ever wants to be 5-star, so to speak, in this profession, they got to have a track record. Mm-hmm. And you're one of those people, I believe, that will provide for the alumni catalogs and everything that they keep as part of a good track record for recovery. People who are in recovery and sustainable recovery. Not just surviving, but striving.
Yes, sir.
You know, and that, you know, that is the illumination in this whole scene, this whole scenario, man, that people go through when they pull up out of that nosedive that you were talking about, the deepest despair, and you come up, man, and so. If Elevate has a lot of potential. What do you think? As far as programming is concerned, what do you think?
I've been around a lot of different programs. I feel like Elevate is a good program. I feel like it'd be, you know, some things could be implemented. That's from my standpoint of doing what I did. But I feel like it's very simple what they do, what they could do to make it just more structural. But I feel like it's a very structured still program because it's basically, you know what you got to do. Don't BS the BSer. And do what you got to do because you know the circumstances you had when you came in that door. Mm-hmm. Came in looking for help. Came in desperate. So once you start, they give you all this good food, pack you back up, you get big. Now you want to disrespect everybody in the building that helped you get the back where you were. You know, you don't come at them like that. You should come at them with, you know, appreciation. And then it make your time a lot easier. Drop the prize. Nobody there trying to be tough because you didn't have none of that toughness when you stepped in that door and said, hey, man, I need somewhere to sleep. It's cold outside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You didn't have that when you came there. You came there with desperation and with the attitude to want to do it. So instead of getting there trying to switch up and not want to do it, just do what you said you was going to do. You told yourself you was going to do. Don't get in there. Now there's nobody here to showboat for you. Same people in there when you leave, guess what? They ain't going with you. So you got to go by yourself and continue the journey by yourself, you know? So just do the right thing, I believe. And I feel like the program, more people step up, you have way more leaders. If, you know, if you show everybody that you're actually trying, more people in the program will try. And it'll stop all the knucklehead, you know, nonsense. And then people will want to do it. They see the guys that wouldn't normally be doing it, they're going to want to do it. And it makes just a better program.
So 6 months ago, Rodney, let's go back 6 months.
Uh-huh.
You know, put on your metaphorical everything. Let's go back 6 months, man. Just for a moment. I don't want to re-traumatize you or anything like that, but
I'm all right.
Can you just imagine, man, the numbers in the relapse category.
Yes, hi.
Are really, really powerful, man. And so, you know, you can become like we talked. You know, I talk this talk a lot, man. When you run up against a brick wall, you know, in your efforts to stay stopped, you can easily become dysregulated. And you know that about yourself because you one morning you felt like they had backed you into a corner because they would not allow you to, I think, make a phone call or something. you start writing down stuff on the paper and you want to call Kev Hutton and everybody. So it can easily happen, man. And so, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, you got my number and everybody else's number. And that's how we talk. And that's how we support one another. But you know, I appreciate you called me. You called me kind of like right away.
Yeah.
Got out.
I did.
And that's what recovery looks like, man.
Yeah. You got to make the calls right away. You know, the people that you feel is good for you. That's good for your recovery. Who's only going to give you the right feedback? Keep it real with you, not sugarcoat anything, and you know, tell you what you want to hear, but tell you the truth. Those are the few people to reach out to, and you know, keep it in the circle. And that's what I did, you know, right away. I just can't seem to get Leon's phone.
What'd you do?
He's a very hard guy. Leon's a hard guy to remember to get, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Protect him at all.
So and you notice, you know how fast people can become dysregulated. They can become a time bomb real quickly in there, and they come in, just so deficient, right? Just dopamine deficient. People come in, and they've been miserable for so long that it doesn't feel right to be happy and okay. And I think Elevate is the place where you can become grounded, stable, and safe.
Yeah.
You know, just for that time period. Because it's actually a place for stabilization right now. It's not really set up to get people into long-term recovery, sustainable recovery. You know, it's not. But it'll get you kind of over the top, right?
Get the way you need to go.
Yeah, it'll get you over the top. And our job is once you get over the hump, we want to make sure there's something over there.
That's right.
That's the after rehab, then what? You know, people can over the hump. If there's nothing over there, they're going to go back. That's where the recidivism come in at. Got to make sure. And so that's where recovery-ready communities come in at. That's where you come in at, Rodney. You know, we talk a whole lot about that. And you, don't downplay yourself, young man. You're a politician.
Yes, sir.
You're definitely a politician.
I definitely appreciate you too, though, and people like Mr. John Case, for being on the front lines, but still, you know, trying to get the word out, like through these podcasts and doing what y'all do. You know, you got the podcast, you got Mr. John who helps you edit it. To get this word out. And Mr. James, you've been inside of the place where the people coming in firsthand with the sickness. You know, you on the front line, you gotta talk to these people to keep them there, so they can even get to a point to want to be stable. You know, they gotta get over the sickness, and it's not easy, you know what I mean? So it takes a lot, and everybody on every level has a lot to do with that.
Can I ask a question?
Have temperament. You have to have that temperament. You know that. So hey.
I have an off the wall question.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, It's interesting that you, how you guys are talking about Elevate. I don't know that much about the. I think I looked it up a little bit once, but I was wondering if either of you know what, you know, if you're an economist, do you call it the business model? I mean, how, where is the money coming from to pay the bills? Is it coming from insurance or government grants, or what's the, what's keeping the business going? It's a private business, right? I mean, it's not.
Right. Good question.
I would say Elevate is more state funded through grants through insurance that's ran through the state of New Jersey, Horizon New Jersey, all state Medicaid pays it.
Right. Okay.
Private insurance. If you want to go there, you could, but nobody's going to choose that place to go. Because they got good insurance, they're gonna go to the beach, like in your background.
Yeah, you know, right.
Somewhere like that, you got private insurance. But Elevate is definitely more state funded, so you want to get like a little rougher crowd, which makes it open to get like some people that come there that barely cannot get the private approved and had to come, and even though they're from good families, they may need their wake up to see where they can go. I think Elevate is a place that definitely opens your eyes and they keep it real with you. And you're like, yo, I don't want to be back here. Not because the people are horrible or nothing, but like, you know, it's just like, hey, I can do better. And these people are telling me to get up out of here. The kind of people that work for Elevate, I feel like are like realists. They're like some of the people with the best brains, and they've learned a lot from working in recovery, from being personal experiences to just over time knowledge. They've honed it all together, and they know how to deliver it to you to make you not want to come back there. So, but because of the kind of, you should typically end up there because of the type of insurance that's accepted.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But, you know, it's good that those kind of people come so they can't be reached. But yes, definitely state insurance. State.
I think that's Medicaid. Probably better because at least the state has a, what do you call it? They have a humane interest in doing it, whereas some private insurance companies, if it doesn't make a lot of money, they just drop it, you know. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah, if you're not getting a lot of money, they just let you go.
Yeah. Right.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Well, that's it sounds, you know, like overall a positive environment to try and get us. It's not like you say, James. It's not a long term.
Right. This is stabilization.
But it's,
right now.
You can save. They're trying to save some people.
Yeah.
And boy, nothing counts like that. If you can save somebody, that's a life changer for the person you save and yourself.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
It's an industry that's really, really interesting. The way it evolves.
It just
evolves because people are evolutionary. So,
yeah.
And it evolves. Yeah. And so right now the population is kind of low in the 60s and 70s for the most part. But, you know, I suspect when it gets warmer, it'll start to tick up. It usually works just the opposite. But
yeah.
Right now, it's not working that way. People coming in. And so, you know, that's another paradigm shift, you know, I guess, if you want to look at it like that.
Yeah, it's tax season, too.
It's just the opposite.
Yeah, it's tax time. They got a little money floating around out there. So.
Well, yeah, that too. But most people who are, And so that's a very interesting point, Rodney, when you say tax time. Yeah, because most of the people that I see, they don't really file taxes because they didn't work.
And they got disability. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird, though, that you say it's low.
Yeah, it is low. It is kind of low.
Why is that? Is that because, what do you think it is? Do you have any idea?
I have no idea because in the wintertime, it's more that it'll be full because it's so cold outside.
Yeah, right. Sure.
I think it's
Yeah. Are some of the people homeless?
Oh, yes. 85-90%.
Okay. 90%.
How many have any family support?
I would say 90%. Most of the time.
If somebody's getting counseling, for example, or getting treatment, and is there any attempt to reach out to their families if there's anything positive there so that they can, you know, like after you get out of the program, I mean, if you had some family support, that would help. You know, as opposed to all on your own, you know.
Yeah, certain people do. They do get your family's contacts, and they try to do a meet and greet on the counseling side, the therapeutic side. They'll try to do a meet and greet to get you in touch with your family to see how you can work on that while you're there. If the family is willing to work with you. Some people have burnt their bridges to where they have nobody left because they've harmed everybody.
Yeah. Right.
Mm. Yeah, so maybe they could put some kind of gift shop in there pretty soon, Rodney. They're starting to sell some soap or some stuff. But there was a problem with that because they went and got these little miniature bars of soap. And the young man paid $3 for it. Wait a minute.
All right.
Hey.
That's terrible.
Oh, man. I know how that went. I can see how that went.
It didn't go too well, man. People want a refund, but... Yeah. I don't know how long that part is going to last, Rodney. But this kind of input from you, and because like I was telling you earlier, that, you know, the people that make up the rules and regulations and all of the content and the information that comes in and out of there, they're starting to lean towards, in my mind, the Recovery Cafe.
That's right. They want it.
Yeah. So that's what I'm telling you right now. Okay. We talk a lot about that. And,
yes, sir.
You know, once things start to develop in that area, you know, you should be one of the first people to be able to partake of that and even come in there and work. But I don't think that's what that's not what you're looking at, because you're looking at bigger fish here. And I know that about you.
I definitely come in and work when I can with Elevate, whenever I have the time. They need me to show up, they need to call me. I come over there and speak and anything. I don't mind.
I don't mind
showing up
with Elevate. Yeah. Hey, so John, you got any last remarks, Mr. Case? We're coming up on 6:14 right now.
We had a show a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, in which we had a fella, he was trying to start a whole program in West Virginia in the school system to educate people about fentanyl, addiction, but fentanyl in particular. And he had some money that they'd raised, and Senator Manchin was... big on it or something like that. But, you know, and I'm totally in favor of anything that saves a single kid, you know, from the miserable outcomes, you know. But I just don't know. My question to him was, how much of the addiction epidemic is just mostly poverty? And the lack of options, you know. I mean, for example, rich people can get addicted too. I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
but
exactly. But how much of it is in poverty?
You know, because you get out of the thing and you got no job, or it pays lousy and there's no opportunities, and it's just, and you get laid off or fired because someone finds out you out of the prison system and the whole thing. And then pretty soon.
85%.
Yeah.
Mm. I would say 85%, 85 to 90%. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's mostly where it lies, that is in poverty, no matter what race or community is. So That's mostly what it is. And if you're able to have, you know, the 10% is a lot of people. So I would definitely say 85 to 90% of it is in poverty. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's where they, that's where it's been directed at, and that's where it most of it's at. It just, that's why so many community centers and stuff in poverty areas, that's where they at, because mm-hmm. that's where they have to try to reach the people at. So that's
yeah.
most of
it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to have to figure out, John, how to break this cycle of degradation, man, and all the stuff that goes on. So, because I feel your pain about the prison system and all the systems that operate not in our favor a lot of times, you know. They set up, like me, I'm a low-level functionary, right? And so that's what I would consider my job. As because the high-level functionaries and the monetary people, the low-level functionaries, we don't really get that much exposure, even though we are the grunts. We got the boots on the ground, so to speak.
Right.
But we low-level functionaries, so we don't, you know, it's like ours is not the reason why. Ours is do or die.
To do or die, yeah, right.
And that's it. However, from what I'm finding, Rodney, is that the people who are constantly on the units, the people who are a lot of times at the bedside of people when they're doing all sorts of things, when they come in on detox, their body is just going through so many horrific changes, you know, excrement, urination, and vomit.
Yeah.
And the low level functionaries, it's their job to not only look at that, but to make sure that everybody's safe. And and so the high level functionaries, the people that make the big bucks, they don't get to, you know, they don't get the honor of doing that kind of thing, man. Yeah.
Yeah, being in the trenches. Being in the,
exactly. I'm trying to temper my words, man, because I'm going to show this to some folks back at the Ponderosa over there at Elevate.
Okay, okay.
And, it's
wonderful.
But, you have to call a thing a thing, man.
That's right. And you know, Leon, you know, for him to be one of the high functioning people, he comes through there.
Yes.
He swings through. And Leon swings through, you know what I mean? You know, the whole unit is waiting on Leon because they want to ask for something.
You got a lot of smarts, man. He talked to me the other day, man, and he said some profound stuff, you know, so I'm good. I see where it's going.
Is this an administrator?
Utopia.
Is he a doctor or an administrator or what? Huh? What's his?
He's an administrator.
Administrator.
Yeah, he's an administrator. Pretty cool. He's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah.
You know, has he been doing it a long time?
Yeah.
I can't be sure. That's what his resume says.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. That's what the resume says.
It's a rough business. I mean, you're going to have a lot of failures, and that's, you know, that can be dispiriting. That can be, I mean, I know a doctor who wasn't really suited for, she got an assignment to work in Chester, Pennsylvania, which was a lot poorer than the neighboring county, let's put it that way, a lot. And she had to pay off her, you know, college loans she borrowed for go to medical school and all this with a lot of money. And so she was taking this job working there, and, you know, she didn't like dealing with poor people.
Oh.
And I remember having dinner with her one time, and I said, well, do you have even a single success? And she says, no.
Wow.
So there's some people that are not suited for the work, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She wasn't.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, she wanted to help out country club members or something like that with their drinking problems and everything. But
come on,
you know,
some people are just not suited for the job.
And you got to have dedicated people. So.
But that seems to be the people that we got with all the best jobs. They're not really suited for that.
Right.
They're all
inherited. They inherited. A lot of inherited.
There's a lot of inherited going on.
Yeah, man.
Tell Leanna, definitely reach out to me, man. And
yeah.
Are you in? Are you off tomorrow? This,
huh?
Get the weekends off, don't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You inherited that.
Yeah, inherited that, man. Yeah, we got to do this again, Rodney.
All right.
Okay, yeah.
It's a great interview, Rodney. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. I mean, you talk good. You got it down. Yeah. I bet you do make an impression with people, you know. So that's a trade, you know. You can develop that, you know. Then you can run for president. I think the current guy's not gonna make it to the election. So you're gonna have to have a bullpen here.
right. So I definitely appreciate y'all. So
all right, let me know great, when
you guys want me back on.
All right. When John gets
the link, Rodney. When John sends me the link. When he sends me the link.
Make sure you send me his Rodney's. Does he have an email? You have an email address?
Email.
Yeah.
Just make sure you send me that. I'll send him a link directly to the podcast. Okay. Yeah. So he can.
Hey, Rodney, send me your email when you get a chance.
Yeah.
I have to do that, Mr. James.
It's been great, man. It's been great.
All right, everybody. Great.
So I'll catch you guys.
Let me know if you want to keep doing this on Friday night's not bad. James.
Okay. Yeah.
If it works for you. Let me know. Okay. So this is good. Thursday's kind of bad because Carol comes home on the train from DC and I have to leave at 10 minutes of six to go pick her up. So anyway,
when it gets warm, me and Rodney gonna come down and take a look at the caboose.
Oh yeah. Hang out in the caboose, man. That's our,
we
got a 200 ton caboose in the backyard that we never had. We never had to pay for it. And the reason is, the former mayor used to live in this house after he got ill and he couldn't be on more than one floor. You know, he couldn't climb any stairs. So there's a one floor little house. But he had a career as a assistant or deputy secretary of something in the Department of Transportation on rails. And when he retired, he found out that here in West Virginia, up on Route 45 on your way to Martinsburg, there was a burnt out caboose sitting there on one of the rail things near the Martinsburg terminal. And he says, well, if I bought that, I could just redo it with wood and make it look like the original thing, which is what he did, you know. And he had it towed and put in the back of the house and all this, and that 200 ton thumb, they had a crane, they had to lay about 20 yards of track to put it down and roll it into place.
All to put it on.
And so it comes with the house, and you would think, oh my God, you know, this is gonna add a couple $100,000 to the value of the house. Not so, because the insurance company says, well, technically it's movable. And the bank will not consider a movable thing as collateral for a loan, you know, because it can, in theory, it's like a trailer, right? Or something. You could pick it up and take it to California and the bank never gets its money, you know? So the real estate agent sold it to us and my wife. She said, well, it counts as nothing because the bank won't include it in the value of the house. So, you know.
Wow. You got a big train in your backyard.
So we got a caboose in our backyard. This guy rebuilt. He put all the burnt metal, he covered it all up with wood, painted it red, put that little chessy cat, painted it himself, you know, on the side of the thing, and turned the inside.
Cool,
into
it's
a
cool
little
inside, right?
Little cabin where his grandchildren could play, you know, that kind of thing. You know, so anyway, that's still nice, here. Nice. You come up, it's got four beds, right? Three beds.
Yeah.
Three or four beds, anyway. And Mm-hmm. And we just had it. There was a hole in the roof. We just had that fixed. But
all right.
Anyway,
That's the spot.
That's the spot. Not yet. But
all right, guys,
come and see us. This would be great. All right, guys, take care. All right.
I sent over the email, and I'll catch you guys later.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
All right.
Bye-bye.